Blog Talk Radio.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Find light in the beautiful sea. I chose to be happy. You and I, we're like diamonds in the sky.
We sure are beautiful, sparkling, twinkling diamonds in the universe, in the universal sky, in the body, mind, and spirit. And we are all connected in this life. Welcome to the My Beauty Angel Show on October 30th, Wednesday. Wednesday night for some of you all, and Wednesday afternoon from Scottsdale, Arizona here. For me, it's 4 o'clock, and on the East Coast, it's probably 7 o'clock. Our show broadcasts via Blog Talk Radio and courtesy of Greater Good Ministries, which is all inspiration all the time, metaphysics and spirituality at its best. Every Wednesday, we're here, same place, same time. We're so grateful for all our fabulous, sparkling guests that we have each week and their diversity and how they sparkle and help heal the world and everyone they know and the animals and the birds and the bees and the trees and everything that's beautiful. We honor all of Mother Nature, all of the people, places, and things, all-encompassing. And I'm your host, by the way. Don't let me forget. Audrey Quinn is my name. You can find my Facebook page on Facebook. It's called My Beauty Angel. And you are in for a special, a special treat tonight, which is perfect right before the day before Halloween festivities tomorrow. We have a very special guest, and his name is, well, he has two names. He has his spirit name, Walks with Thunder, and his name, his given birth name, Andy Rodriguez. And Andy is my wonderful good friend as well, and my brother in this life, and I'm very grateful to have him in my life and to know him. And he's very wise and has a lot of spiritual wisdom to share with the world. And we're going to be interviewing Andy. I'll be bringing him on in just a minute. And he will also be taking callers, and you'll have an opportunity to ask just one question. The call-in number is 347-237-5339. And press 1 if you'd like to make a comment, say hello to Andy if you're already a client, if you already know Andy, or if you would just like to ask a question. But Andy's going to share a bit about his walk in the Red Road journey and his life and what he's here to do, his soul mission and vision and purpose, and hopefully inspire you all to, you know, manifest your highest best for yourself in this life. And let me just tell you a little bit about Andy. His website is walkswith thunder.net, and you can contact him there. And he is a shaman born. His grandfather was a shaman for the, I don't know if it's Kato or Kato, so we'll have to confirm that with Andy when I bring him on in a minute. But that was the tribe, as was his father before him. And, you know, Andy likes to live a simple life, and he's been able to see grandfather spirits since the age of just 2, and he could bilocate, and bilocate literally means be in 2 places at once. He could do that by the age of 14. And he didn't really realize that these things were so special. He thought everybody could do that, when in fact they can't. I mean, it is a special gift to bilocate. He also teaches classes, and I believe will help mentor and and take on apprentice folks, and I believe you can find that information on his walkswiththunder.net website once again. I love how Andy says one of his truths and one of his beliefs is that when you take control of your own hidden powers, you don't have to play a victim. And he's been on the red road for a very long time before he even knew there was a red road. And he lives a very spiritually pure life, walks the walk, and talks the talk. And he says that our path in this life is changeable. Andy likes to do blessings, not spells. The most important thing that he will tell you is that love is the best thing that we can do as humans. Love is the reason we are here. Love is the only thing we take with us when we pass from this life to the next. So make it count. Do it right. Stop playing games and love with all you are, all your heart and soul and every ounce of your being. Love is what we should be doing in everything we do. And take charge of your life. You're the one that can empower yourself and make decisions for yourself to do or what not to do. And make the most loving decisions, the loving way for yourself and others. So I think that's beautifully spoken and said. And, you know, you can once again find Andy Rodriguez at walkswiththunder.net. He's a non-traditional shaman. And without further delay, I would love to welcome my dear friend, Andy Rodriguez, who I believe will be coming to us live right now from Washington State. Right, Andy? Welcome, Andy. Are you here?
Hi, Audrey. I'm happy to be here from Washington State in the Seattle area. And as you'd expect, it's a gray, cold day out here.
Is it? Oh, my goodness. Is it raining?
You have to like it. If you're going to live in Washington, you have to accept the gray sky, or the gray sky will run you out of Washington.
Yeah. How long have you lived there? For quite a long time?
Lived 1980 when the Coast Guard sent me up here. And I held a traditional job in the Coast Guard for Native Americans, and that was before I knew I was a Native American. I was a radioman down there at Pier 36, the voice of Puget Sound.
Were you really?
Yeah, so if you, hollered for the Coast Guard, you had a pretty good chance that I'd answer you. And you'd want me to answer, because in my entire four-year Coast Guard career, only one person died on my watch.
And oh, my goodness.
I blame that
That's
on the
excellent.
Wife that reported him as a diver overdue and not a diver 45 minutes overdue. I was already dead when we got the call, because their air tanks don't last that long.
Wow. How long were you a Coast Guard?
I was in for the 4 years. I got out for a stupid reason, which was I didn't want to keep getting my hair cut.
Oh.
I know.
Did you have long hair?
Well, no, but I wanted the freedom to have long hair. And the odd thing is that my hair now is shorter than it was when I was in the Coast Guard.
That's funny.
I know.
Well, I'm sure we have lots of listeners that would love to learn more about you and your journey. And we're very grateful to have you on the show tonight to educate them about kind of share your journey, because everybody walks in different moccasins. Like they say, never judge anyone until you know the moccasins they walked in, right?
I know.
So we'd love to have you. Wherever you want to start, you take it from here, Andy. We've got plenty of time.
My ancestry is that the Caddo Nation, is where my grandfather came from. And I did not know that I was Native American until I was 28. When I called up my mom and said, hey, I'm going to log myself into Bellevue here because I'm nuts. I'm seeing shadows that stand in front of the light, and they're not on the ground like they should be. They're standing up like they're people. And I'm seeing, little tiny lightning bolts, and that can't be right. And she says, well, I wouldn't check yourself in just yet because you know, your grandfather was a medicine man for the Caddo Nation, and my mom was a member of AIM, which is a militant group of Indians called the American Indian Movement.
Oh.
And the AIM is kind of a intimidation factor because they want you to know they will target you if they don't like you. She was that kind of native, you know. And my Uncle Bill was a card-carrying member of the Caddo Nation. But they called me up a few years ago, and they said, well, you know, we hear that you're saying that you're a Caddo Nation person. And I said, well, if you read my website, it says that I am, that is my heritage, but I choose not to join the Caddo Nation. And they began to tell me that, you know, that their medicine people don't advertise, they don't sell ceremony, they don't write articles, they're not on the radio, they're definitely not on television. And I said, well, gosh, it's a damn good thing I'm not one of your medicine people. I am a shaman, and that means one who knows in the Siberian dialect in Russia. It means one who knows. It doesn't mean that I'm a medicine man, even though that is my heritage and I do hold power there. When I make my tobacco offering, my tobacco fades out of existence. And the Sioux Nation and I bumped heads for a while because one of their people saw me do the tobacco offering, and she says, why don't you use the prayer ties? And I said, well, I believe that the new tobacco offering loses its power because it is not done in the ancient way. And because it's not done in the ancient way, it has lost power. And you have tainted that ritual with white man's cloth and white man's string, which really got them upset with me for years. I mean, I'm just one, you know, one shaman, and, you know, there's a whole nation after my scalp. And finally they had a meeting about it, and they're like, well, you can't argue that he's got power. So we're going to call him ancient traditional because he doesn't agree with the way we do things in the modern way. And it's true, I don't agree. Because the argument I had with the Lakota woman, which is another word for Sioux, was I said, I don't do it with prayer ties because when you do your prayer tie, you have to take it down and burn it or you leave it there to rot. And your offering was not accepted. And she said, oh, but the essence was accepted. And I said, oh, bull crap. The essence is not accepted. It's still there. You can still see it. If it was accepted, it would be gone. And
right.
She just wouldn't understand that because when I do my tobacco offering, you can see it fade out of existence. It's gone. There's no doubt that it's been accepted because it ain't there no more. And
right.
I applied that to her ritual where you can still see it. I'm like, well, you just wasted your time because you spent, you know, 2-3 minutes with each one of those saying a prayer. You tied it up in white man's cloth. You tied it onto white man's string. And then you did 2,000 more.
Wow.
Well, how much waste on an offering that was not accepted because it lacks the power because you're not doing it right?
Mm-hmm. Good for
so
you.
They don't like
standing
that.
Up.
Hear that they're doing it wrong, that they've deviated from the ancient way, which they have.
But
you know,
ancient ways are the. It seems like, I guess I'm with you on that. I'd want to stick with the original, ancient, and not trying to tweak it or modify it just because we're in 2013 or, you know.
Well, I don't know why they changed
it. Because of
if they
honor,
had a vision or something,
right?
But you can tell that my offering's accepted because it's not there, and they have to believe that their essence was taken, and I just laugh at that because I can still see it.
Oh,
so
wow.
We just have to agree to disagree on that. You know, that is their spiritual road, and in some way I have to respect it, even if I think it's just ineffective. Notice
right.
I refrained from using a derogatory word there.
Well,
I'm trying to be nice
here. Sometimes it happens. It's okay. We won't bleep you.
So anyways, you know, I am judged harshly by some of the nations because I do not respect their new way. I look down on it because it has no power, well, none that
right.
I have seen. And,
right.
You know, if I had any power, I'd be full of holes by now.
Yeah. Interesting, huh? And you.
I know. You know, when you walk with power like I do, when I touch rose quartz, I leave fingerprints in it. There are white fingerprints in the pink stone. And
I got my pink
the,
stone right now. I'm touching it now while you're talking.
Would you like me to bless it and change it white for you?
Sure.
Well, that was another one of the Lakota woman's complaints, was that I took away the pinkness of the stone. And I said, I do not have the power to change the color of the stone. What I have the power to do is bless the stone. And if the stone so chooses, it will accept the blessing and become charged up with energy and thereby change its color from white or go clear. And you can see that on my website, walkswiththunder.net. There's a video of me doing the stone blessing. And if you take rose quartz stone and you hold it next to the speakers while I'm doing the blessing, it will receive the blessing and turn white as well. And you can watch it turn white in front of your eyes. So if you guys have a rose quartz stone or you're listening in an archive, you go off and get your rose quartz stone, pause it. I'm going to give the blessing, and we'll see. Ready, Audrey?
You mean right now we're doing it?
Say that again?
Are we doing this right now?
We're going to do it right now, so hold it in your hand and look at it.
Okay, I'm holding it right now.
I call the grandfather and grandmother spirits from the north, the south, the east, and the west, above, below, and within. From the Thunder Nation, the Stone Nation, the Ancestors, the Fairy Nations, the Angelic Realms, and all the nations and spirits that love us, I ask them to bless these stones with the ability to gather, store, and bestow the free energy of the universe in infinite measure. I ask that in a great and powerful way that the stone use that energy to give you a shield that repels negative energy back to its source, that makes you invisible to negative entities and energies. And I ask that it draw prosperity to you in an unending flow like a river, and that prosperity be your constant companion through life. I ask that in a great and powerful way that a thunder spirit enter the stone and be your companion to guide you in time of darkness and protect you in time of need. I thank the nations for their assistance and ask that each stone be given a special blessing that is just for the person who owns it, the one blessing that they need the most. I thank the nations. How's your stone doing there, girl?
It is lightening up. It does look lighter to me. It does look lighter. Wow. That's
so
a beautiful,
that
that's a beautiful blessing. That's a powerful, beautiful blessing.
See, you don't have to dance naked. You don't have to wear leather and feathers. You don't have to kill a chicken. You just have to touch spirit with your words and allow spirit to flow. And that's all I do.
Yeah.
I'm a good asker. Not that I'm spiritually powerful. I just know how to ask for what I want.
Well, it's important. In order to receive, you have to ask for what you want. I believe
you know,
that.
In my work, I deal with angels. If you notice the blessing, I call the angelic realms. I call the Thunder Nation. I call the Fairy Nations. I call the Ancestors, the Stone Nation. All of these nations are nations that favor me with their attention and their power. And I write a lot about fairies. So if you go to my website, walkswiththunder.net, you can read in the archives about the fairy blessing. And if you give an apprentice some fairy dust, I think there's three or four articles about fairies and how they manifest in our world. It's a really wonderful thing to be able to see them. But they have taken liberties at my house. The first time I saw one was back in 2005. I had gotten up late, and on my white bedspread there was this little pea-sized glowing green fairy. And I scolded it. I said, nobody told you you could sleep with me. This is my bed.
Aww.
This is my house, and nobody invited you in here. How dare you jump on my bed and sleep with me? And it rolled off my bed, and you could hear it hit the carpet like a pea. It sounded like a pea hit the carpet. And it starts to roll towards the outer wall, and then it just winks out of existence. And I was like, oh, my God, the nerve of that fairy.
But oh, that's too cute.
Some odd reason fairies like to sleep with me. I caught the wedding dress fairy sleeping with me a couple years ago. I guess it was maybe 3 years ago, and a girlfriend and I were trying to work things out, and I saw the wedding dress fairy, and I'm like, oh, God, that means it's going to fail. Every time she shows up, it's bad news. And I told her, why can't you ever deliver me good news? I mean, why do you have to be the bad news wedding dress fairy? Why can't you be the good news wedding dress fairy? But no. So anyways, I scolded her too, and she winks out of existence in the hallway. I go to sleep, and in the morning I wake up, and I feel something on my hand, because my hand's out on top of a big comforter, and she is sleeping on one of these big squares of my down comforter, and I see her, and I give her the same I gave the last one. Nobody told you could sleep with me, and you're bad news anyway.
That is so cool. I love these little fairies.
I know. It sounds like I'm crazy, but if you go to the website, you can look at the pictures. There are pictures of the wedding dress fairy there, and she glows in the dark. She's beautiful.
Where can I find these pictures on your website, on the Walks with Thunder?
Walkswiththunder.net. You can also find them on my Andy Rodriguez in Facebook. There's a bunch of those. But there are pictures in the gallery there at walkswiththunder.net, which is also
like I found the fairies under articles, but where would I find the pictures?
You know, I don't remember how to find the pictures. I hardly ever go there. I update it through when I write an article, I just send it to an email, and it puts it up there for me. So,
well, that's okay.
Just poke around. You'll find it. It's not
find
rocket
it.
Science.
Play around with it a little bit. And yeah, I love your picture. Is that Dissy with you, that one picture with Dissy?
That is my Dissy dog. I've had her since she was just a tiny puppy. My son had gone to college, and I was kind of grumpy. And my second wife said, you need a dog to take care of. So she got me Dissy. Well, she was right. It was much better disposition after I got my dog.
Oh, how cute.
I wasn't so grumpy, and...
two dogs, right? You have Goliath, too?
Well, Goliath is Dissy's son. When Dissy was 3 years old, my ex-wife, my second ex-wife, decided that she wanted to have puppies, and she was going to use Dissy to do it, and I thought, well, you know what? We should give Dissy the full dog experience. So she got to be pregnant one time, and she had Goliath and Chuna.
Aww.
And Chuna was a little tiny chihuahua. She was only going to be 3 pounds at her biggest weight. And Chuna means little hunter in Yupik, which is the nation that my second ex-wife belonged to.
Oh, wow. Chuna with a C or J or Juna?
C, C-H-U-N-A.
Yeah, that's how I thought. Chuna, that's cute.
Little hunter.
Little hunter.
She is not a little hunter. She is just a... sweet little person, but and her brother is 12 pounds. And, you know, we call him Goliath because he's the biggest chihuahua we got. But
wow.
He looks a brown or tan pug dog, but he's a chihuahua.
How cute. Well, I want to just make a comment once again to encourage, I do see some callers in the queue. Be sure to press 1 if you'd like to say hello to Andy or if you'd like one question reading, because he does give readings. He doesn't need any tools or cards. He gets his messages, divine spiritual messages, directly from Spirit. Now, are you working with any special, are you working with the great grandfather guides or the person's guides, or how are you how are you channeling your your answers for folks when they, where are your gifts coming?
Their audience,
yeah.
Because when a person tells me something, I hear another voice behind them or next to them saying, let's say somebody says, I have a great marriage, and then I'll hear, when my husband doesn't beat me, isn't cheating on me. Or, you know, I'll hear another comment after they say something.
Audience,
and
right, clear audience.
Sometimes it agrees with them, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they'll say, oh, my boyfriend is awesome, and the voice will say, but he's cheating on you.
Oh.
And I just listen. I don't even have to be psychic. I just listen.
Right. It's interesting, isn't it, how there's all these different gifts. I know I'm a feely, so I'll feel stuff. Like I'll feel if there's danger, my stomach will be, I'm an empath feely type. So sometimes I'll hear things too, Andy, but I feel a lot of things. And so it's interesting how we have all these different clairsentient, right? Sentient, when you feel. Clairsentient and clairaudient and clairvoyant. And my other psychic friend, she says, and just call us Clairol. Clairol. I thought that was funny.
But everybody has Clairol. Sometimes they only have one Clair.
Exactly.
But,
one that's really strong, the strongest one, right, where the information comes from.
Sometimes the spirit guide next to you or one of the spirits next to you will speak in the ancient way and send me a little vision. It's kind of like a little tiny mini movie. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it has a message. And sometimes I'll get a vision that will tell me what's going on. And other times I'll just know.
And how many years have you been given readings and had clients, regular clients that contact you through your walkswiththunder.net site for readings and divine guidance?
I haven't done this very long. I think I started in 2005. I started giving classes.
So about 6 years ago?
Yeah, in 2008... MTV people contacted me and wanted me to be on MTV with Rob Dyrdek. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are mad at those kind of shows because, you know, they don't respect the Native American. And, you know, Rob approached me with respect and he said, you know, we have this canvas teepee and we'd like you to go in it. I said, well, yeah, sure. You know, if you go out on the res, there are people that are Native American that own that same teepee. And, you know, you just want to be offended by it because a white guy has it. How stupid is that?
Right.
There are some of them out there that, I've seen stuff on the Internet where, the medicine man gives the blessing and the guy totally pisses on him by that, by making a joke out of what he just said. And, you know, those kind of people will get their own. But when I was on the Rob Dyrdek show, I told the producer, now, you realize that I want power, and if I don't like this, your dick is never going to work again.
Oh, boy. Heavens to Betsy.
If you look at me on Rob Dyrdek, I'm only on there for like a minute and a half, but he quotes me the rest of the show, and I look good.
Oh, funny. So what other shows? You did the MTV, and what other shows did you do? The Bio Channel and some other special you've mentioned.
Biography Channel first. I was in there for 3 or 4 episodes. The fourth episode is the one that I'm featured in where we're working with Kitty Banks, who has a curse. And they didn't show me removing the curse. They just wanted to know about the curse. So I was supposed to be there for an hour-long interview, and they kept me in the interview room for about...
Andy? Are you there, Andy? Oops, I wonder if I lost Andy. Hold on a second here. Let me see where Andy is. Well, Andy will call back if we dropped him, but he will call back. And I do see a caller in the queue, and we will be taking your call here shortly, so thank you so much. Andy will be happy to answer any question you have, or if you just have a comment and want to say hello, that's fine too. Yes, certainly it looks like Andy's call dropped, but he is calling back. He'll call back in. So we'll get him back here in a minute. And once again, this is the My Beauty Angel Show. I'm your host, Audrey Quinn, and here is Andy. Let me get him back in. There you are, Andy. What happened? Did Dizzy disconnect you?
I have no idea. What part did you lose?
We were talking about the episodes with the bio channel that you were supposed to be there an hour, and it was about the curse, but and then I lost you after that.
Oh, I was supposed to be there an hour, but they kept me there for 3 hours, and they had to keep changing the recording. I don't know what they recorded it on, but it only held like an hour and 10 minutes, and they changed it 3 times. So
goodness gracious.
So they kept getting stuff, and you know, when I said things like, when you're cursed, it leaves a mark. Negative energy leaves a mark. They used that in episode 1, and then, you know, where it was possible, they used it in other episodes. My pal Robin Zodiac was on there, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Robin?
Yeah, Robin Zodiac.
I don't know if I know her, but I don't think I do. The name's not ringing a bell, but I love her Zodiac last name. That's cool.
Oh, she was America's top psychic and stuff like that.
Was she really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
She didn't win, though.
She what?
She didn't win the America's top psychic competition. But
oh,
she
didn't win, but she made one of the finals.
Well, she was
there?
Really good. You know, in my opinion, she's one of the good psychics out there. You know, not everybody that does what we do is real. You know, sometimes they're good at reading body language, or they've got a good song and dance, and they just say it.
Or they're good at what I've noticed. The ones that weren't real with me, you know, because I've had different readings over the years, are the ones that ask me so many questions that I've given them all the information they need to reflect it all back, you know, for them to make some pretty good guesstimates of where the story's going. If they get enough information, that's why a lot of times I'll say, well, I'm not going to say anything because I'm not going to influence you. You give me the reading first without me saying anything. I mean, I can be tough nails.
Well,
tough as nails.
I require 2 pieces of information. If we're talking about a person, I require their first name and the last time you had contact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the information I need.
Yeah, well, that's pretty limited. Yeah, that's understandable. But, I mean, when they're constantly asking you all the questions, and then if you're giving them all the information, then it's easy to just, you know, give them good common sense psychology, in my opinion. Those are the ones.
Oh, I'm really good at epic romance questions. I'm writing a book, and I have seen so many epic romances. I know what the pattern is, and I know where you are in the relationship. And some people don't. You know, they'll say, well, what's going to happen next? And I know what's going to happen next because I've seen it 1,000 times.
Yeah, exactly.
But I've only been doing readings for maybe since 2009. I know, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm new on the scene, and I'm on television, and I have the number one radio show on Blog Talk Radio with 48,000 listeners a show.
That's awesome, Andy.
I know. There's
that.
Nobody on there now that has those numbers.
That is huge numbers. We have a caller who's been waiting for 15 minutes, bless their soul. Do you mind if we pick them up?
Sure.
I don't know if you know who they are. Do you know who the 618 area code is?
Nope.
618. We're going to take 618. Welcome you to the My Beauty Angel Show, and welcome you tonight to speak with Andy Walks with Thunder. Who do we have?
This is Susan.
Oh, hi, Susan. How are you? Welcome.
Hi, Audrey.
Hi. She's one of my regulars. One of my regular listeners. Hi, Susan.
What's your question, sweetheart?
My question tonight is, how do you see my trip to India going?
To give me a hand with that, tell me the date you're leaving and what state you're in now.
I'm in Illinois, and I don't have the exact date. It'll be approximately around the 1st of March.
Well, the first thing I heard is it's going to be great. The next thing I heard is that some of the travel that you're going to be doing is not as modern as you're used to. It looks like stuff from the 30s or the 40s. The spirit is showing me a biplane, and I'm like, no, she's not going by biplane. And they're just like, well, you know, there are going to be some antiquated forms of travel for you. So don't worry about it. Just embrace the trip. You're going to have a great time. I'm hearing that it is a blessed trip. It is one you're supposed to make.
I believe that. I am being sponsored by a family, and it came. I was watching TV this weekend, and they showed Animal Tracker, and I saw an elephant, and there were some people riding it, and I told my spirits, I'd really like to do that.
Oh, sweet.
And then Tuesday morning, I got a phone call from an acquaintance of mine, and his family are sponsoring me for the trip. It's a spiritual trip. He himself is a psychic also.
Wonderful.
He has other businesses. He doesn't necessarily work as a psychic openly. He uses it for his businesses, I believe.
Wow.
Well, the good news, Susan, is it's going to be a great trip. So, you are going to come back with what you went there for, the spiritual opening that you're looking for.
Oh, wow.
And
you know,
exciting.
These people from India are so gentle from my experience. I've always found Indian people from India, very gentle spirits and loving and kind. And I don't know, it's interesting. My boyfriend David's mother and her sister, they're going to India too next December. For almost 3 weeks. Yeah, three mm-hmm. weeks, 3.5 weeks to India too. So.
Yes, March is the month of the holiest month of the year, and I'm going to be traveling with the family to different spots, different.
Is that Ramadan? Your
celebration. That's one of the reasons I'm going. The other reason is he is interested in me opening up a shop in the United States, a jewelry shop, antique jewelry, and stones.
Wow.
Well, no wonder they're showing me antique travel. Ha ha! Good for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. I'll put you back on the show if you want to listen longer. She's got such a sweet, I love her voice, Susan. I know her voice the minute she calls in. She's a sweetheart. I'm really grateful she calls in and every week. And, sometimes we have lots of callers or just lots of listeners or, it's always a different thing every week. But so tell us more, Andy. What else can you tell us tonight, here on the planet Earth?
Well, I think it's an interesting thing that that angels and fairies are in my work. I wrote an article back in 2008, maybe 2007, about do the math. And, if 25% of the world's 7 billion people are Christian, and that is the statistic, and that means that, there's like 2.4 billion Christians. And at any given moment, let's say only 1% of them, which would be like 2.2 million people at any one given moment, are calling on a saint or an archangel. So let's choose Archangel Michael and say, just to be generous, that only half of them are calling on Archangel Michael because he's pretty well known, right? So that would be 1.1 million people calling on Archangel Michael at the same time.
Right?
So mm-hmm. you're in there, you're in your faith, you're calling on Archangel Michael to give you a hand, and you're in there with 1.1 million other people doing the same thing at that moment. And I said, do the math. How much attention do you think he's got to give you for that when he's got, 1,100,000 people clamoring for his attention? And after that article got published, a couple days later, I got a dream, and I was in heaven, and I was in this big, you know, white marble office, and it was beautiful. And, you know, there was gold and really fine works of art that served as desks and, you know, chairs and tables and things, and I was ushered into this really big office, and there's this huge angel, and he's, you know, glowing with his golden light. And he sits me down in front of his big, huge desk, and he says, "Do you know why you're here?" "No." He says, "Because you have a voice now, and because you said, do the math. So I'm going to explain this to you one time. This is how it works. Everybody on earth, even if they're not Christian, has a guardian angel. If that guardian angel cannot answer your prayer at a local level, then he will pass it up the chain of command through the angel hierarchy, you know, the cherubim and the seraphim and the angels and the archangels. And, well, anyway, there's like 11 different kinds of angels. Not all of them are worship. Some of them are just observers. But so anyways, it passes up through there. And then once it comes to the archangel level, if none of the other angels can handle it, then I handle it. And since I am the right hand of God, I have a kind of omnipotence. I can be in as many places as I need to at the same time and still have the same amount of power available to fix that problem, whatever it is. So, in this case, the math is irrelevant. So I was on the carpet for that one. And so I had to write another article that told about my dream in the way that I was told it works. But Archangel Michael has visited me several times. The first time I saw him in person, he's 20 foot tall, and he was crunched down on one knee in my living room, and just so he'd fit. And, you know, we had vaulted ceilings in that living room, but he was in the short side of it. And he had this big old sword, and it was in a, it was like a huge, huge sword. It was kind of like a claymore, but bigger. And he's got that with him, and he's wearing this white robe. He's got these wings that are giving off this kind of golden light, but they're white. And he's wearing this white robed outfit that has this crisscross of golden rope on it that's, you know, going from, I guess it's knotted in such a way that it looks like triangles across him.
Right.
And those bluest eyes, they're the bluest eyes I've ever seen. And he is so beautiful, he could be a woman. But he's obviously a man.
Wow.
And his hair is blonde, but it's kind of like bottle brush. You know, it's really curly and stiff. And he's got it in a kind of a ponytail that looks like he's been flying in the wind, and it just kind of froze backwards like that. So on the one hand, I was smiling at him because his hair was funny. And on the other hand, I know that I'm the greatness of power and that it's a bad idea to do that. So I look at him and he's looking at me and, you know, we stare eye to eye.
Uh-huh.
And this voice in my head says, "I know you're going through a tough time, but it's going to be all right. I am with you." And I wanted to ask, why is an angel with a shaman? Why?
Uh-huh.
But I already knew the answer, and that's because it's spiritual work that I do. You know, the healing work that I do or the blessings that I give, they're all spirit-based, and they're from a divine energy source. It is not my energy that powers the blessing that I give. It is, you know, a divine power that powers it. I just ask for it in a way that other people don't. And it is perhaps a formulaic way because I ask for it in pretty much the same way, and I usually get a result within 7 days, sometimes within 5 minutes. It makes sense to me that angels are with me. And he showed up another 4 or 5 times during that week, and sometimes I just see his wings in the big mirror above the fireplace, And I'd hear him say, "Have faith, I'm behind you." And, you know, he was saying that when he was behind me. when I went to Whidbey Island later in the week, I was in my bedroom on Whidbey Island, and I could see out this big vast acreage that was, you know, part of the house there that I was renting. And I looked out, and it was sunset, and the air was kind of blue. And there were thousands of angels, and they had been skating through the house. You know those horror movies where the entity or ghost or whatever goes past the person, you know, it'll just go past so fast in the hallway, you know, swish,
yeah.
They're gone. But, you know, you felt something back there, and you look, and there's nothing there because it only took a second to pass by. They were doing that to me all day long. And, and you know, Archangel Michael comes over, and he says, "Have faith. We are all around you." And, you know, I've been able to see angels and paranormal things for a long time. And, you know, having an angel there, it gives you a sense of protection and peace. It's there's this aura that says that you're taken care of and protected, that nothing bad can happen to you while they're there. It's a calmness that few ever get to know because it's absolute. So I've been gifted with that several times. And, you know, I know when somebody's talking that they saw Archangel Michael or not. I'll know from their description of what he looks like whether they really did or not because I've seen him.
Yeah. I have felt him with me, you know, that Andy, and he's saved my life a couple times, especially one particular time I was in L.A. driving to an audition when I lived in L.A. Before I moved to Texas, I was in L.A. for a few years, and well, California for 15, but in the L.A. area for a few years, and I was driving, well, semis are always everywhere on those roads, on the freeways there, you know, on the 5, it's very stressful and edgy, and there was one of the tractor trailers that came, I mean, within millimeters or centimeters of wiping me off the planet, you know, and I saw my life flash before me, but I also felt Archangel Michael like had his wings and moved my car completely over, because there was no, it was a miracle. It was a miracle that I was still driving and made it through the tunnel alive.
I have experienced that miracle. I was, I had just seen a thunder spirit at my house, and I was taking a friend of mine home. And I had this little tiny economy car because, you know, it was right after the gas crunch and everybody was worried gas was going to go up to a really unreasonable price. And I'm in Seattle and I'm traveling. One of the neighborhood streets near Northgate. And I'm heading from east to west. And there's this big oil truck that I haven't noticed because I'm talking to my friend. And I look at it. And it is maybe a foot or two from impacting with my little car.
Yeah.
And we both close our eyes because we know it's coming, and we're just going to wait for it. Because there's nothing we can do. You can hit the brakes, you're still going to get squashed. You can hit the accelerator, you're still going to get squashed. It's just a different part of the grill you're going to hit. So I close my eyes, and I wait. We are clenched fist here waiting for the impact, and it doesn't come. And we open our eyes and we look behind us, and there was no possible way that we could have missed that truck. And yet here we are on the other side of the truck in one piece. And I pull over and I park and we get out and we talk about it. And we're supposed to be dead. And my passenger says, "No, we're not supposed to be dead. That's why we're still here."
Wow, that is awesome. That's a miracle.
So, I know, and I've felt that before.
When it's your time to go, you will go.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But if it's not your time to go, there will be an intervention.
That was definitely an intervention. And after that, I knew, I really believed, I knew Archangel Michael was my primary angel protector, you know, guide and protector. The Archangel Michael was the primary. I know they're all there and they're all here for us, but I work with Archangel Michael the most.
Do you know what an angel is for?
Well, not really, to be honest with you. I mean, I just know what I've learned. I went to one of Doreen Virtue's classes when she had a conference in Vegas, and she gave a big, you know, spiel about every angel and which angel is for what, and I don't know where those notes are anymore, and I don't have it memorized, Andy.
Well, I don't mean to disagree with, Doreen's success or what she thinks here. But angels exist to serve God, period. They're not here for you. They're not here for me. They're not here for Doreen. They're here to serve God, and that's it.
Yeah, I believe that.
You know,
whenever
God wants to send
a
message, he sends an angel. Whenever God wants to kill someone, he sends an angel. When God wants to destroy a city, he sends one or two angels. In the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent two angels. When Gabriel brought down the walls of Jericho with his angelic horn, it was one angel. So they are creatures that follow orders. I liken them to Dirty Harry. Every dirty job that comes along. There's a story in the Bible where an angel appears and tells this man that he's supposed to sacrifice his son. Being devout and faithful, he prepares to sacrifice his son. And at the very last second before, you know, the blade strikes his son's heart, the angel says, "Stop, we just wanted to see if you would. It's okay, you don't have to kill him. You passed."
Wow.
You know, that is the kind of creature that you're dealing with here.
With an angel.
You know, an angel is not, I'm going to blow sunshine up your butt kind of person that Doreen thinks it is.
Right.
An angel is here to serve God.
Commercialized.
Period.
Commercialized.
Hey, I'm not saying
I'm not.
She's wrong. I applaud her, her method and her success and so forth.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's found a way to market something that works for her.
Right.
It doesn't make it
exactly.
Right. It doesn't make it, the gospel. It just means that, hey, wow, she's a great marketer. And,
exactly.
And, you know, I think she's probably a really nice person. Although her husband, Stephen Farmer, was on my show shortly after their divorce, and he says, we can't talk about the divorce on air because I said I wouldn't.
Oh, they
and
get divorced?
And yet he still did.
They did divorced. I never knew
well,
that.
Well, yeah, because she was, like, going out with the scuba instructor. She didn't even wait for the sheets to get cold before she put him in there.
Oh, no.
I know.
I will say this, and, you know, because I know, Andy, I respect your tell-it-like-it-is kind of guy, and I'm a tell-it-like-it-is kind of girl. And, you know, when I was at that conference, I met a lot of healers. I met Sonia Choquette, very impressed with her. Actually, her class was probably my favorite. Loved Loretta, the comic, the comedian gal, Loretta LaRoche. Thought she was super funny. Of course, Louise Hay, but I've met her a couple times. Love her. But, you know, with Doreen, when I was sitting there, just my observation, you know, because that was my first time seeing her in action, I felt, and she was raised on pretty high on the podium, which, you know, that's how the stage was set up, you know, of course. But I got the feeling, once again, I'm a feely, that she was, you're out to the audience. You're down here. I'm here. And almost like I'm an untouchable, like I'm not approachable, separate. I felt very like she wanted us to buy the drink, the Kool-Aid, of course, buy and do the Kool-Aid and drink it. You know what I mean? But honestly, I wasn't impressed with her. Honestly, because
so how much
I didn't
was the Kool-Aid
any,
that trip?
Well, that Kool-Aid trip was very expensive for me. It was a few thousand bucks.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it was after a bad breakup I went through with a gentleman who was almost like probably a sociopath, I guess you would call him, is what I, after I got out of it, because I didn't know when I was in it that he was, because it was so subtle, all the undercurrents. But once I got out of it, Andy, and realized how bad it was and was working with a shaman, a woman shaman who was doing a lot of ceremonial, worked with a lot of ceremonial rituals to remove his really heavy, dark, trying to possess me, even though we were not together anymore. It was horrible once I got out of it. It took me 3 years to get over the whole thing and to do my healing, you know, my body work and energy work. But Sonia Choquette, that woman touched me. She touched me in a really beautiful way. Wayne Dyer was there, liked him too. But there was, I just felt really warm fuzzies with everyone except for her. It was just like no humility. I guess it just.
Oh, I can't blame her for that. I don't have any of that either.
Yeah, you are down to earth more than you realize, Andy, honestly. Come on. You really are. So
I look at those guys and go, wow, you're charging a couple thousand for that or 8,000 for this. And I'm thinking, there's something wrong with my marketing technique because I don't charge that high a price. And I'm in the field I'm in, I'm famous.
Well, you know, plus I'm talking about everything, the airlines, the rental car, the hotel. I mean, the whole thing was probably like a grand, but then when you add all the travel and meals and everything, then you then it came up to it. But at the time it really cheered me up because I had just come out of this really toxic environment of a relationship.
Let me tell you what I know about bad relationships. People stay in bad relationships because they don't know any better.
Yes.
And when you stay in a bad relationship, it's because you have low self-esteem most times. And you take the
abuse. Oh, yeah, I did. And I did. I did at that time.
And those people that are there that are doing that to you have lower self-esteem than you do, and they use you to make them feel better, to feel powerful. They have such low self-esteem that they have to control every little thing you do. And they begin by isolating you from friends and family. Oh, I don't like your family because they don't like me, so let's not see them anymore. Oh, I don't like your friends because they didn't treat me well, so let's not see them anymore.
Right, isolation.
So pretty,
I was
so
isolated.
Pretty soon it's just you and them. So you don't have a support system. You just got them. And, you know, Audrey, you're a beautiful woman. You know, from the inside out, you are just, you know, this hot girl. And you know, you have these eyes that you know, men could probably stare into forever. But I would bet you that this guy nibbled at your self-esteem and said, gosh, Audrey, you're beautiful, but, you know, your ears are too big. Or, you know, your knees are oddly shaped. Or that he found something about you that he could whittle away your self-esteem with. And
oh, yeah, it was real subtle, but it was dangerous. It was very subtle. And it finally, after a little over a year, I remembered because I had kind of defected from my spiritual, from my metaphysical practice for the time I was with him, and that's what he wanted too, because he knew that would take away my power. He was sucking like a vampire my energetic power, but I allowed it once again.
And
you know,
the other
I allowed
thing that
it.
They do is after they isolate you and they take away your self-esteem, is they make you dependent on them. So that when you finally do earn their respect or their adoration or their praise, that it's magnified much more than it should be because, you know, them telling you good morning should not give you this all-over glow that makes you feel happy because they told you good morning.
Right. No, but you know what it was? I had a reading, and the reading was my wake-up call, and the reading was not good about the relationship that I was in without getting into the details about what he was, like I said, a sociopath, and there's some other names, but it was just really shocking to me. It was my wake up, and I believed this reader because all the things she said added up mathematically to me, and I could feel it. And I also knew that it wasn't going to change, even though, you know, we always think we're going to be Wonder Woman or Superwoman and change the person, and it never, ever works, because I learned that the hard way. They have to work on their own self, you know, their own. And anyways, long story short, I luckily had a windfall monetarily of a huge miracle so that I could afford to have a big truck get me out of there and come and pick me up and get me in the most beautiful little, I was surrounded by fairies and howling coyotes living in Half Moon Bay, you know, across from the Mavericks where they surf, the big surfs. And I was just with the angels and fairies for almost 3 years of healing after that number that I was dealt. You know, I had a number done on me, really, really, really slick and fly. And, you know, the greatest pain is the greatest gain. I learned the lessons, you know. You know what, Andy, I don't want to, we're actually 1 minute over, but we have one more call. Do you think, could you take one more caller? Andy? Let's see if he's here. Andy, did I just...
There I am.
You? Oh, there
yeah,
you are.
I'm back.
Andy,
let's take him.
One more caller. Hang on, and then we'll close out the show. Welcome to My Beauty Angel. You're on the air with Walks of Thunder, Andy Rodriguez and Audrey Quinn. How can we help?
Oh, well, thank you so much for taking my call, and I've loved listening to the show. It's been very interesting. What I'm calling about is I have a friend that is dealing with some health issues now. It's a friend I've known for many, many years, but I haven't seen in probably the past 10, 15 years. And I am doing remote healing, unbeknownst to them, but I'm just sending, you know, light and love and so forth. But is there something, do you think they would be receptive? I'm wondering if Spirit wants to let me know if they would be receptive to me sending them maybe a book that helps with visualization or something, or is it something more I should just talk to them first?
What's their name? Do you want to tell them? Andy, you need their name and where they live, or what do you need, Andy?
Well, yeah, that would help. Just their first name and, you know, the last time you had contact with them.
William, and they live in San Diego.
William?
I'm hearing, yes, that you should send the book. Don't ask, just send it.
Okay.
Are they in, like, a chronic pain situation?
I don't know. I didn't hear that they were in pain, but they have been diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah, my dear, dear friend Angie passed away in June with cancer. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, she was battling that in lots of unique different ways.
Mm-hmm.
When you do your visualization for healing for them, let me give you a suggestion.
Okay.
Take a deep breath, release it slowly, take another deep breath. As you release this one slowly, see them in your mind's eye.
Okay.
In your mind's eye, I want you to clear away any red fog or yellow or black around the body and just wipe it away and throw it into the garbage can.
Okay.
That's negative energy that you're clearing out.
Sure.
And then I want you to see them and say their whole body is an ultimately powerful free energy magnet.
Okay.
And your spiritual hand is an ultimately powerful negative energy magnet just for them. And I want you to pass it over their body and push it through their body to where the cancer lies and pull it out, like you're pulling out black gum or something. And you're just going to throw that into the garbage. It won't stick to you. It won't stick to them. It's just going to come out easily. And as their body gathers this free energy, they will gain strength and they'll be able to battle this. They may even come into remission after you do it. It is that powerful to do this visualization for them.
All right.
Would you allow me to give them a blessing?
Please.
I call the grandfather and grandmother spirits from the north, the south, the east, and the west, above, below, and within, from the Thunder Nation, the Stone Nation, the Ancestors, the Fairy Nations, the Angelic Realms, and all the nations and spirits that love them. I ask them to focus their power, their will, and their intent
to give this person the blessing of a healthy body, free of cancer, free of pain. I ask that in a great and powerful way that a powerful healing thunder spirit enter their body at this time, right where the cancer resides, and to remove it, to kick it out of residence, and to do so in a right now immediate kind of way, and to keep doing so for as long as that person chooses to be cancer-free. I ask that they are cancer-free. I ask that the blessing of health that I should have given them be given as well as this one that I want. I thank the nations gathered. So we call on a power outside ourselves because the power does not rest within us.
Right.
And I believe that there are many, many different names for what we call divine energy. Some people call it Yahweh or Jesus or God or Buddha or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a divine energy that exists out there. I know that to be true because if an angel is real, and they are, then there must be a God that created them.
Yes.
And if there's a God that created them, then there's also the evil one down there that he also created. So we have the ability to change what is by asking for blessings, by asking for the angels to intercede, by asking, sending our prayers and our goodwill to those that need it. There have been studies that show that people that get prayed for in hospitals get well faster than people that don't.
Yes.
That's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking the listeners to join us in that intent and that will that your friend be healed and that they be cancer-free. And that they, come out of this in a good and powerful, immediate sort of way, that they get this miracle they need.
Right.
Yes, William. And also I want to say for William, something that you might want to look up for yourself, just something I've learned lately, and there's been some testimonials of these people that beat cancer. Look up on Amazon, it's B17, it's crushed apricots. The FDA is trying to take it off the market. Because it's
mm-hmm.
helped people beat cancer, and it's B17. It is
okay.
very expensive. It's about $100 a bottle, and there's only two companies making it, and they have it on Amazon, just something to look into. Do your research on B17, an alkaline diet. An alkaline diet, cancer cannot survive. You know, I don't know how far the cancer is, so I can't speak for William. Where you know, I don't know how deep it is or how long he's had it, but with an alkaline diet, cancer cannot survive. And look up alkaline diets, and there's several books on Amazon for a couple
okay.
bucks and free information, even little shopping lists. I have one on my refrigerator right now. When I go to the store to keep myself alkaline, that,
yes.
you know, you want to stay alkaline because there's GMO and Monsanto everywhere trying to make, you know, keep the cancer money-making machine going, you know.
Right.
So that's all I got to say on that one. But I
totally agree with you about that money-making machine.
Yes. Yes, but this too shall pass too because there's more and more light coming in the world. And there's countries that are starting to ban GMO, and let's just hope that the United States jumps on the bandwagon soon.
Well, either that or I see what I foresee, my
mm-hmm.
own foresight, is that
mm-hmm.
somebody that works for him will have an awakening from an angel or a miracle,
yes.
and they're going to set it on fire, and it's going to be a miracle cleansing for us. That's
yes.
what
no,
I think.
I believe,
what do you think?
I believe.
What
well,
do you
I think
think,
that Monsanto, when all of the bees started to die, it was because Monsanto was coating the seeds with a pesticide. So when the flowers bloomed, they had pesticide in the pollen. So all the bees died.
Right.
And, you know, if all the bees die, we're dead.
That's right.
But, you know, we're going to die. That's all there is to it. We will not be here anymore because we will not have any crops. We won't have any fruit.
But I agree with you. I think people from the inside, and I agree with what you're saying, too, about the bees. And fortunately, the bees are...
Monsanto is evil, and they are trying to kill you. They have, you know, the leader, or the head of the FDA, was a Monsanto employee. So, you know, we're not getting a fair shake there. They've loaded the dice here.
Right now in Washington State, we have an initiative 522 that says that you have to label GMO foods.
And oh, good.
There's this big battle that says, well, you know, that's poorly written. It takes care of dog food, but, you know, meat products are exempt. And how can you have a GMO meat anyway? You can't. But you could have cows that eat GMO grain, I suppose. But,
they're eating the corn. If you look up that YouTube video, and they keep removing it, the government's removing it, called the Food Nation. And that's why I've given up my chicken, and after watching that, and I was traumatized by it, the Food Nation, and how our animals are being poisoned with this corn. Did you see it too, Andy?
I stopped eating white eggs after that. I only eat brown eggs that are cage-free now.
Yeah, me too. Brown from the local farm here in Arizona. Otherwise, I won't eat it. It's just there's hardly any food.
Well, you have the Fukushima plant over there pumping hundreds of thousands of gallons of radioactive iodine-169 into the environment. And they're not telling you that four of those nuclear sites went fusion. They're not telling you that the design is built on a fault line, and that we have over 30 nuclear power plants in America that are built on fault lines that store their spent nuclear waste above the reactor. It's almost like they're waiting for a disaster so that they can have a huge fusion meltdown by letting the fuel rod stay above the reactor. How stupid is that?
It's a way to extinguish the population, isn't it, Andy?
So here we have Monsanto, we've got nuclear power, we've got iodine-169 in the milk, and it's in the rain. If you're eating seafood from the Pacific or Atlantic, it's in there 100,000 times bigger than it was before. We're screwed.
Well, another thing is, you're still with us. Did you have something, dear? Sandy?
Hi. Do you believe in the help that the world has gotten from ETs or extraterrestrials, the Palladiums, whatever you want to call them? Do you believe in that?
You know, if you'd asked me that 30 years ago, I'd have said, you know, you've been watching too much Star Trek.
I know, me too. I would have said you've been watching Boston Space.
I was on watch at Pier 36 in the Coast Guard in November of 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a historical event for ET confirmation happen that night. Komosh Coast Guard got on Channel 16, which is, you know, where you call out for help, and said that a meteor had just flown over Komosh and was headed towards Seattle, and that we should brace for impact because he thought it was going to come down.
Yeah.
And my radio at Mount Constitution, which is on Orcas Island, gave a buzz, and it only did that one more time back when Mount St. Helens exploded. It was from the tower in Tacoma, Washington, fuzzed, and then the King Tower in Seattle, and then the Orcas Island one fuzzed about 2-3 seconds after each other. So it was bzz, bzz, bzz. In this case, it was in reverse from the King Tower, or from Orcas Island to King Tower to the Tacoma one. And I looked out over the bay, over Elliott Bay, and there was this huge fireball in the sky. It must have been the size of the kingdom, which was really big. It, you know, it's football stadium size.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And it's on fire. And my teletype starts chattering after I watch it, you know, go out of sight. And for a little while there in Elliott Bay in Seattle, it was daylight. So I go over to my teletype after I don't see it anymore, and it's chattering, and it says that the unidentified object meteor made a 90-degree turn and went down in the Columbia River Gorge. And they sent out, you know, Coast Guard cutters to, you know, 82-footers and 41-foot vessels to go look for it, which, of course, they didn't find. So if you'd have asked me that, you know, 30 years ago, I said, nah, you too much Star Trek, too much Lost in Space. And now I'll say, could be that we are receiving some of the help, but
The reason I say that, and I'll just be very brief about this because this is something that's all new to me, but I really think that we're going to be helped, I think, with the radioactivity and all these things that are happening in this world, because I think more and more light is coming in with light workers such as you, which have been incredible, incredible, have incredible energy and so forth. And I just really think that, that's how it's going to be helped, is they're going to come in and be able to somehow clean it up. And that's my intention. I'm intending that some ability, some entity, be it
well,
God.
Well, you do realize that we don't need them to clean it up.
We don't? Can we do it?
I want you to go to my website and have a look at walkswithunder.net and watch the video of the stone blessing.
Okay.
Mount St. Helens had been rumbling for a while back in 2005, 2006. One of my apprentices was worried about it, and she told me, I said, okay, I'll stop it. And that night I had a dream that I was walking near Mount St. Helens, and Mount St. Helens was as big as my shoe. And I see this little tiny demon in there, or you'd call it an imp maybe, you know, a little bat-like ears, a little forked tail. And I reached down and I grabbed it by the scruff of the neck, and I put it in this little mason jar. And I sealed up the mason jar, put it back in my pocket. And when I woke up, all the activity in Mount St. Helens stopped. There was no more seismic activity, none whatsoever. And I kept that thing in my pocket for 3 weeks, and then my apprentice says, are you sure you have the authority to make Mount St. Helens stop? And I said, well, I must. I did it.
Right.
So
wow,
I had a chat with
the
demon, and I said, I know it's your job to do that, and I'm going to release you to go back and do your job. And, you know, we shook paws on it, and I stuffed it back in, and, you know, it started immediately to shake the rim again. And, you know, the next day the newscasters were saying, well, Mount St. Helens has started to make seismic activity again.
Wow.
So my point here is that we, each one of us, carry the power within us to do things of legend. We just have to believe that we can. It's not whether you're trained or whether you can, you know, bilocate or whether you can, you know, control your heart like a yogi, which, of course, I can do. But it's whether you believe you can. And if you all believe that if you bless the ocean, if you bless the Fukushima plants, if you bless the water on the planet to be radioactive free, if you bless our land to be radioactive free, then it will be. And all you have to do is say, I call the grandfather and grandmother spirits from the north, the south, the east and the west, above, below, and within, from all the nations that love us. I ask that the oceans be blessed to be cleansed of radioactivity. I ask that the lands in the Americas be blessed to be free from radioactivity contamination. I ask that our leaders come to their senses and redesign those 30 nuclear power plants to store their spent nuclear fuel somewhere other than above the nuclear power plant.
Yes.
I
yes,
thank the
and
nation
I
together.
Also bless the healing and dissolution of geoscientists, geoengineering of all the chemtrails above us. And Michael Murphy, God bless him, he's going to be my guest here soon. I've been in touch with him. He is educating and wants to put a stop to these geoscientists who are spraying the aerosols that are damaging us as well.
Yeah, they have barium in there, don't they?
Oh, it's horrible. Go to www.whatintheworldaretheyspraying.com. Or Google Michael Murphy / chemtrails, and it's all there, and all the videos, and what you need to take for supplements to protect yourself and to prevent cancer and any other illness that we could, you know, have from this. It's unbelievable. And that's why the geoengineers, he's got a coalition to stop, completely put an end to the geoengineering that's going on with this effort. Because otherwise, it's like I said, it's chemical warfare, another way to extinguish and control the population, right? Eliminate the population.
Oh, yeah, they're good at that.
So,
may I I'm going to say one thing and then I'll be quiet.
And then
may
I close out the show or I'm going to be in
that
trouble.
Blessing, I know, but may I share the blessing that you told me about to bless the oceans and everything at my church? Is that okay?
Well, of course you can do that.
Okay. I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to do that, and I'll say where I heard it and so forth. But
you know, a blessing is for everyone.
I know.
I don't own the blessing.
I know, but I feel better.
I appreciate that.
I have your blessing even more. Thank you.
Lots of love to you, Sandy.
You.
She's a sweetheart. Bless William too with rejuvenated health and vitality and energy restored. And that was awesome, Andy. We went over time a little bit, but it was worth it. And I really, it was awesome. We need to do this again. And I'm just really grateful for our friendship more than anything. And your prayers are so powerful. And I, someday we'll have to meet so I can give you a big hug.
Uh-oh. That sounds like fun. Audrey, you are the beauty queen out there. We love you. And, you know, I met you through Lizzie Starr, and I know she really enjoys who you are, and she cares a lot about you.
I love Lizzie, too. I miss her. I want her on the show, too, sometimes. She's so busy.
She used to be on my show, so, you know, just tell her. Andy said you got to be on my show.
Yes, I will. I'll get with her again. I know it's been tough. She's been busy, and Bear Medicine Walker has her pretty busy there helping her out. I love Bear Medicine Walker, too. She's a sweetie. So, yeah, we've got an awesome network, all of us together. So
I told Bear years ago, you need to have a radio show. She's all, no, I'm not ready. Yeah, you are. Go do it. And she did it. Now look where she is.
Oh, she's awesome. I love her. She gave me a reading, too, and it was awesome. And
she's one of my apprentices. Or she used to be one of my apprentices.
Is she really?
Yeah, she's an apprentice graduate now.
Some of her prayers, you know, her early morning ceremonies that she would do on Blog Talk would just bring tears to my eyes. Literally, I'd be crying. Nobody would know because I'm not on the air, but I would just be listening to it crying. It was so beautiful with the flute. And I'm into the big, you know, I love the flute, the Native American flute, and also the Andes Peruvian music flute is like my favorite.
Yeah, there's some awesome stuff in that.
In there. Well, wonderful
show. As long as it's
show,
pure, I'm behind it.
I know. You're awesome. Well, give Dizzy a little pinch for me.
I will. And she's soundly asleep, and I'll wake her up for that.
And Goliath.
You can carry the guilt. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Lots of love to you, Andy. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.